Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all with a hell of a shout. It's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program. My name's David Ball. I'm Deputy Secretary of the Victorian branch of the MUA, and I'm here with the entire executive, Robbie Lumsden, the Secretary. How are you, Rob?
Good, thanks, Dave. Wouldn't be anywhere else at 6:30 on a Thursday morning, would you?
That's right.
Beautiful
Dino,
morning.
How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic, comrade. Morning, listeners.
And Aaron.
Hey, Dave, how are you, mate? Sorry, mate, I was waiting for you to take the piss or make a joke or something.
And, of course, we've got our new regional organiser, Jason Farrow. How are you, Jason?
Good, thanks. Good morning, listeners.
So today, or this week, actually, the 8th of April marked the 25th anniversary of when the Patrick's operation sacked 1,600 wharfies Australia-wide. Yeah, so that was a pretty historical, well, the most historical industrial dispute in Australia's history, and something that means a lot to us.
It was, Bully. Do you want to elaborate a bit more? Do you know what we've noticed? That a lot of our members, particularly our newer members, some of them weren't even born when the Patrick's dispute occurred. So we should probably go into a bit more detail for them around what actually happened and the conspiracy that was led against the MUA by the then federal government, the federal Liberal government.
The Industrial Relations Minister, Peter Reith,
He's since passed on too.
That's good news. That's the best news I've heard for a long time.
Teamed up with little Johnny Howard, and they conspired to take over the waterfront. The Farmers Federation were involved, of course.
They got involved. Chris Corrigan, who led it from the Patrick side, you know, colluded with the federal government. It's hard to believe, even all these years on, it's hard to believe that a government would collude with a business to sack an entire workforce and virtually bring the country to a halt, all over ideology.
And they sent a group of Australians over to the Middle East to train, to work out how to use our cranes and everything.
Yeah, so it depends what you. So they did. They sent them to Dubai to learn, and they were. And I was reading some stuff where people felt they were duped and didn't realise what they were signing up for. Not all of them. Don't worry. There's quite a few understood, but then there was some pressure put on, and they had to move them out of Dubai, and bring them back closer to home. So it is historical, and I suppose when you say. And it's interesting, Aaron, you make the point that a lot of our members weren't born then, or certainly were very young at the time. That's part of their history, and that's part of what we've got to continue to let them know, that what's gone on and what's happened since, and all the conditions that they have today is in a lot in part due to what those wharfies had to go through around the country. And it wasn't just a Patrick wharfies, like it has a flow-on effect, doesn't it? And it was it is quite historical. It's the most historical industrial dispute in this country. I don't think there's ever been one prior or since that would rank with it. And it was, it depends when you want to, was the 7th of April or the 8th, 11 o'clock at night, when they're sneaking them up the river and with dogs and...
It's balaclavas.
Balaclavas,
yeah, security guards in balaclavas with Rottweilers.
You think,
coming up and dragging you out of your place of work is phenomenal that they would do that on the eve of Easter as well. So just they give you extend your long weekend to 150 days or however
long we're out of the gate.
101 days.
101 days. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
I even find it hard to believe that people would do that against their own human beings, you know, as well. But that's probably because of the way we think.
And the community got right behind the MUA.
It wasn't just unions that got behind the MUA. It was communities, and people just went, "This is not right. This is not right." And I don't think the government understood at the time. We've said this on this show before, that the breadth and the tentacles of the MUA in its internationalism, and at that time was not as strong as it is today, but still strong enough to that helped break that deadlock with the Columbus Canada being sent to America, and they said we ain't send it back, we're not unloading it, a ship that's been loaded by scabs. Quite incredible.
So Peter Reith lost his seat or resigned.
And, lost his seat.
Yep.
I think it was the next election.
Did he lose his seat the next election? Then Howard lost his
seat.
You
quite condescendingly called him Little Johnny. Little Johnny.
Yep.
He lost his seat. And wasn't the next election, but he certainly lost his seat not long after. And that shouldn't be lost on people either. You know, the fact that these people, even in their own safe seats, and they're not given marginal seats, they're given safe blue ribbon seats.
And that's where the saying "Here to Stay" emerged. MUA here to stay.
It's funny, you know. It's it is a catch cry of ours, and it's well known all around the world. And it's like, yeah, geez, I'm glad we thought of that first before someone else did, because it's a ripper. And we are here to stay. And you know, we've seen it in every dispute that we've had. You know, it's one day longer, one day stronger. That type of mentality that we will see the course out, and generally we win. Because of that united solidarity that we have as a union and our members, and we get behind one another and we support one another, and we generally go on and win because of that, because of those reasons. So,
and there was a lot of art and music and poems emerged at the time, you know, about the dispute, and art goes a long way with industrial disputes. And one of the songs that was written at the time was a song called Write That Time by Maury Mulheron. I hope you enjoy it.
They speak about it proudly, it's now union folklore. How wharfies wouldn't load any pig iron for war. Japan was a threat, so they walked off the job. They wouldn't help the fascists for old pig iron Bob. Well, they were right that time, and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little gods. Indonesia's young and fighting to be free, but the Dutch had different plans for their former colony. The people rose up with freedom on their lips, and the wharfies stopped loading many Dutch-bound ships. Well, they were right that time, and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little gin gods. Korea was in trouble, overrun by the Yanks. Wharfies told to load rifles, guns and tanks. But why get involved in this bloody civil war? We're not gonna ship any weapons anymore. They were right that time, and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. Pig Iron Bob's back, says we're off to Vietnam, tugging his forelocks for good old Uncle Sam. The seamen wouldn't work the warship Uluru, and the wharfies held the line when they sat
sack the ship's crew. Well, they were right that time, and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power, so united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. The struggles moved on, mass sackings overnight. The union survival is the heart of the fight. We'll defy your threats, your thugs and corn. We're standing united, no wolfie can be born. You see, history's on our side, we'll see this battle through. There's too much at stake for the profits of the few. Our fathers before us stood on every picket line. Keep their memories alive and we'll win every time. They've been right every time and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. They've been right every time and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. Fighting for us all against the little tin gods.
You're with the Fire Up MUA show and the Victorian Executive. We've just been talking about the Patrick's dispute. This week was the 28th anniversary of that massive dispute, and of course we failed to mention the role that 3CR played.
Yeah, we were very subtly reminded there, David, that Annie, our fantastic producer, reminded, and 3CR did get behind it. As the community, we talk about the community getting behind it, but 3CR got behind it, which was fantastic, and they're behind all the, they're the leader in social justice, if you like, from the, on the airwaves in Melbourne, Victoria, and because,
and on the podcast around the world,
and podcasting around the world.
There you go.
So big thank you to 3CR.
But, yeah, and it, but we. That's but that was all part of it, wasn't it? Because you often, like Aaron and I attended a Trades Hall strategy planning forum recently, last week, whenever it was, and when you, they went around the room, all different unions, all the different affiliates, and they talked about their first industrial rally and that, and there were so many different people in that room that said, oh, my first one was the 98 Patrick's dispute. I went to a rally there as a kid, or a, you know, with my parents. But, you know, but so everyone that did not miss, like the politics were left aside, if you like, which are quite a bit of politicking goes on between the different unions with different different agendas, if you like. And but everyone came together there. Everyone came together because that was just wrong. Just wrong, yeah, on every front.
You mentioned key pivotal moments in a dispute, Robbie, before, and the turning around of the Columbus Canada, but strategically for the union during that dispute was they were community picket lines, and we can't forget that. And that was part of, I believe, was the success of that campaign. Was that we had the community behind us, mate, and there was church groups, there was, you know, school kids there. There was, you know, RSS. There was all
everyone,
parts of the community there that you know, gathered around and attended those picket lines. And that was a fundamental part of the whole campaign. They become community picket lines. You know, and we can learn a lot from that.
And it strengthened the union, as you know, Dean. You represent the branch. You're the official responsible for Patrick's
Patrick,
now,
and yeah,
you know,
and as that place,
as
you know,
density there,
come a long way. You know, we're 100% union density, mate, at Patrick. You know, it's the most productive terminal in Australia.
It is, always has been, yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
Let's not talk about the reason why.
And, you know, we never want to go back to the way it was before. You know, but even the union's relationship with the company and local management has come a long way, and we do have that good relationship with them, and we've got great committees. Yeah, call it reasonable. Yeah, we can have a crack when we need to, mate. But you know, and we've got great committees, and we've got a great workforce down there that again are fully unionised, and But we do need to keep up that education, you're right, because we do have a lot of the younger fellas coming in.
So it's funny, around that time. And we'll talk about May Day later on the show, but coming up in New Zealand at the end of April into May Day is their 75th anniversary of their lockout in 1951. And although New Zealand, we have an extremely strong relationship with MUNS, Maritime Union of New Zealand, as we know, we've got a federation with them now, and they attend our national councils, we attend theirs. But their lockout, historical as well for them, where they were locked out and they actually legislated that it would be against the law. It was against the law and you could be jailed if you assisted any of the locked out workers. That would be given food, money, clothing, all that sort of stuff. So outlandish, outrage. When I first thought that can't be right. Mm. And I went and researched, it's right. It's unbelievable. So history about workers being, you know, trodden on by the elite, it's been going on since before BC and it's still going on with the Roman day and it's still going on today. What's going on, and we'll touch on what's going on overseas right now. Like, it's just extraordinary. That is just elitism again, putting their foot on the throats of working class people.
And we can never forget, you know, anyone that thinks that the current Liberal government wouldn't attempt something like they did back in 98.
Yeah,
you've got to be kidding themselves.
We spoke earlier about the conspiracy and the collusion and how a federal government would collude with big business in that way. And we've still got federal politicians doing it today. We saw Liberal politicians consistently with Gina Rinehart, a person who was called for $2 an hour wages.
And First Nations.
We saw Pauline Hanson hanging out with her multiple times, just wanting to cut workers' wages. It is outrageous. And the collusion has continued and the conspiracy continues. They just do it in a slightly more covert way, but not covert enough for us to not know, just to try and deceive us with misinformation.
And you're right, and that leads into and let's not forget the right-wing media that were behind that whole, or part of that Patrick's campaign. You know, the 60 Minutes session that run
and we all know before the lockout. Sort
if anyone could bring that up, it's worth a watch. But the media definitely knew what was coming. Or parts of the media knew, in airing that that segment on 60 Minutes, like I said before.
Well, it's not unlike the collusion. Like
what's happening now?
The MV Portland dispute, which you know is very close to our hearts, coming up 11 years ago. That in itself, we've got members now who can't get MSIC cards. They're waiting on because you know for some unknown reason, and you don't get given one. Yet they're able to bring seafarers in around the back of the Portland waterfront. International seafarers. And just sneak them in. And once again, dogs and security guards and balaclavas go up the gangway and drag them out of their beds. And what, no one knew about it? And we've said, you know, in meetings down there, well, you must have known. Oh, no, we didn't know. We were filthy when we found out. Oh, God, give me a spell.
Someone had to sign off on the visas, right?
Yeah, of course they did. You know.
Outrageous.
So the collusion against working class people is historical, and it will continue.
Of course it will.
And, you know, the only way we change anything is by ourselves, and that's rising up in the streets. And then they want to say they want to, like, there's bans around the country around what you can say when you have a protest, if you're allowed to protest.
Yeah, we're the free speech warriors of one nation now.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first person, and we talk about free speech, just quickly, I seen it last night on ABC, that the first person to be locked up for making a statement at a pro-Palestinian rally.
Locked up.
God.
Where are we living?
So, Bally, what colour do you want us to paint your cell? We're sending you to Queensland, brother. You're going in a slot.
Block of wood, but that's a definite joke. So.
And, of course, one company that probably is in collusion with the government, DP World. Oh. You know, they pay hardly any taxes at all in Australia.
The only taxes that are paid from DP World have been taxes, payroll taxes from our guys.
Yeah.
And they've withheld them from our wages, those payroll taxes. And now they want to reduce that by trying to cut the workforce. And we've spoken about the automation a number of times on this. And we've recently presented to the federal government what we believe assists in providing workers with some power to fight back against automation when it's implemented. And there are a number of changes to the Fair Work Act that are required, but they are required immediately. They need to be done now. We are already, as a nation, behind the eight ball on regulation or dealing with AI and job replacement technology. And these small changes to the Fair Work Act can give workers a little bit of power to try and ensure that the implementation of this doesn't displace us, but supports us in a way that we can do our job properly. And I don't know why the federal government or any government would be seeking to assist DP World. They are the worst company. Their leader, their global CEO, was kicked out of office because he was mentioned in the Epstein files, and there are a number of allegations. There's a number of allegations that that are associated with that, and you just have to just Google DP World CEO, and then you'll see what he's been alleged to have done. It's pretty horrendous, and that's the person who was leading this, and we all know that the fish rots from the head, and it rots from the head through to its second head here in Melbourne, where you have the local managers timekeeping people down to 28 seconds. They called a bloke up earlier this week because he was 28 seconds over some allocated wash and walk time. 28 seconds. They've called him up and chipped him for it. It is just bullshit what they're doing. No, yeah, it is. It's outrageous. And they're screwing around with guys' ability to take some planned time off on weekends and spend time with their family. Half the workforce now get locked out of the ability to take a weekend off so they can go and play footy or take their kids to netball or whatever it is that they might do on the weekend. And this is a company that is going to the government saying, oh, help us automate because we want to put people out of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just...
And send the profits. We just want to make more money.
Yeah.
Productivity won't increase. Truck turnaround times won't increase.
There is no net benefit for the community. There is only a benefit for the Dubai royal family. That's it.
And I forget what the percentage of their profits were, what they were to what they are now, but I know they've increased exponentially
Stephen Oren profits increased 33% on average.
Yeah.
Like, that's... That's steering profits across the country, and we are the profits? Most productive.
Where was the benefit to Australia, all the communities, all the roads or hospitals that the taxes are supposed to provide? There's no benefit.
A bit like the oil and gas industry.
Do you know what they... Not only was there no benefit to the broader community, but when they increased their landside charges a couple of years ago, they said they were going to reinvest in the business and put in additional straddles.
That was one of the reasons why the landside charges...
That's why they needed to do it. They're going to put in 20 additional straddles. I think they put 8 in and took 6 away. So we have a net benefit of 2 straddles to move boxes here in Melbourne so that they could increase the charges by 47%. The charges on the local truckies, that charge gets passed on to the local shop, and that charge then gets passed probably back onto our wharfies who are down there working. So we're paying the tax twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's outrageous.
A lot of those boxes end up at DP World Logistics, and our new organiser, Jason Farrow, is organising that workplace. How's that going, Jase?
Yeah, that's going good. DP Logistics was on site there about 2 weeks ago. So it's still part of DP World, just the logistics department side. Those guys are doing it really tough down there. There's a bunch of safety issues that I'll try and crack down on in the next couple of weeks. But the good news is their operations manager there has been asked to move on.
Okay.
move on doesn't necessarily mean sacked. He's been moved into another department, which
is... A little sideways love going on.
A little bit of sideways there.
If they're anything like DP World, normally they'll promote him because of incompetence.
100%.
Shit rises to the top.
And, he's been asked to move on, so he'll be moving on in the next month or so. So it'll be interesting to see who the new operations manager will be down here in Melbourne. They're still flying their vice president down for the logistics container park every 2 weeks to Melbourne to speak to the workers. So,
gee, I wonder why that is. I wonder if that's got anything to do with your presence on site.
100% it does, and the workers have acknowledged that. And when I was on site the other week, they said none of this change would have ever happened if, you know, those guys didn't rally together and, you know, the MUA's backed those guys all the way.
No, great work, mate. And you've managed to sign a fair few of them up.
Yeah, that's correct. They generally have a high turnover of staff there because being DP World, they'll sack someone for, you know, even turning left instead of turning right down there. So,
Funny would have been in trouble. Always turn left at Albuquerque instead of right.
That's right. So, yeah, no, the new members are supposed to be coming on the next few weeks too. They're getting bigger. Potentially another third container park they're looking at as well. So our membership base will grow over there the next few years as well.
Ah, fantastic. I just want to mention the Cube TT Line Wharfies. They're a bit outside the bulk and general arrangements with Cube. Cube operating about
unique.
21 ports around Australia, and Cube TT Line is part of that portfolio. And they've been treated pretty poorly by Cube. You know, their agreement was 12 months behind the bulk and general agreement. Now it's been ratified for over 8 weeks, and the boys are still waiting for their back pay. So, you know, pull your finger out, Cube, and look after those workers. They
Here's
get
an
that.
Idea. Treat your work with a bit of respect.
They get those ships in and out every day, day in, day out, 365 days a year. They deserve to be treated with a bit of respect.
Spirit
That's
of
right.
Tassie Trail shot sailed.
We're running out of time. We want to mention a couple of events. We have our AFIDA fundraiser coming up on the 3rd of the May at the MUA Auditorium starting at 3:30. It's a fundraiser for Timor-Leste. Yep, $100 a ticket or $1,000 a table of 10. Get along to that.
That just head straight there after you've been to the May Day rally at Trades Hall. And
tickets available on the door. Get there, buy a ticket, make a donation. Let's chop our comrades at Timor out.
Good on you, listeners and members. Thank you for listening to Fire Up MUA. We're going to go out with another song that was came out of the Patrick's dispute. It's by The Living End called Roll On.
Have a great day, members. Thank you.
See you, comrades.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, meet your new replacement sound.
Roll on, roll on, roll on. We'll roll on with our heads held high.
Our conscience in the gutter, our dreams up in the sky.
We'll roll on with our heads held high.
Our conscience in the gutter, our dreams up in the sky.
you've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.